on the Wednesday edition, Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gerber Law Offices One Call, that's a studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio isn't here yet, but he will be shortly. Will Summers is here running the show on this Wednesday. Big show for you today. I got a lot of Packers things on my brain, as I often do, but today, a couple different things that I want to flesh out and get to. And then the moment you've all been waiting for. We've got the Week 12 ass rankings updated that we will parse through, and we'll debate some of the teams on that list. Some of the teams making their first appearance on that list of the ass rankings here in week number 12. So we will get to those. We'll play a little One Word Wednesday. We will hit what we missed, and we will do all of that here on this fine Wednesday edition of Mr. Irrelevant. Thanks for hanging out with us. Appreciate you. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, the ESPN Wisconsin app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the in-betweens. The Packers are 6-3-1 through 10 games, and they're in a fine position. You know, I think a lot of the commentary this week has been interesting to consume and watch and listen to, because I think the overall feel around this team is more negative than a team that is 6-3-1 and is just outside of first place in the division and is certainly well within the playoff race. But it all comes back to expectations at the end of the day. And I think when this team has been as inconsistent as they are and had the different problems pop up that they have, as Joshy's hand makes a nice appearance in the video stream, where do you go?
Talking business, high-level conversations, things of that nature.
But anyway, I think it when you bring in expectations and you think about where they've been and where they are at 6-3-1, maybe they've been a little underwhelming, and some of those losses certainly have been underwhelming in terms of Carolina and Cleveland. But at the end of the day, this is a team that's still in a pretty good spot with the home stretch coming up, 7 games remaining, including 5 against divisional opponents, both against the Bears, both against the Vikings, 1 against the Lions, and then you have the Broncos and the Ravens of the AFC left on the schedule. So a lot of things to still figure out about this team, yes. But should we feel as negative and as down on this team as we have the last few weeks? That I don't know. And I think Sunday's a good test to figure out exactly. I don't want to say who they are, because I feel like I've said that for the last month, Joshy. We're gonna really figure out who they are. It's not, like, we're not. I don't know that we'll ever have a great idea of their identity. But
are you perhaps leaving the door open for finding an identity when we already know what it is? Because the identity you've seen thus far is an identity you don't like.
Which is
an inconsistent, pretty good football team. A non-Super Bowl contender, but a team that's probably going to make the playoffs.
Bless you. Thank you. I mean, is that an identity, though? Does that count as an identity?
Does
inconsistency count as an identity?
Yes.
Not having an identity is an identity.
Yes, yes.
That was deep. What's your identity, Will?
Cool-ass dude.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you're consistent in being a cool ass dude.
Consistently a little cool ass dude.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not too
tall. I don't know
tall.
Why you took that shot at yourself.
I'm just getting ahead of it. I saw a twinkle in Josh's eye. He's gonna say something about it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know, Joshy. I don't know if the November, what's the date? 19th? Edition of the Green Bay Packers. Is it enough evidence to say that's their identity for the rest of the season?
Here's the thing. Through 10 games, we have an identity. Can it change? Yes.
Okay.
The identity. How many more games would you need to determine what a team's identity is? Just to what point would we... Why is there a keyboard here, by the way? What the hell is that all about?
I don't know, man.
We're doing numbers.
Nice work here.
There's no screen for the computer. There's just a keyboard. The thing is, the identity they have is one you don't like, so therefore you're calling them identity-less.
I like Matthew's chime in from last week when I was talking about how I'm a puzzle guy. He goes, Strofe, have you not figured the puzzle out yet? No, yeah. I haven't. Yeah. And it sounds like Josh has.
I think I'm just accepting reality.
Still a hockey dude after Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid, he's on a tear.
Whoa.
Hattie.
Did you just call him Connor McDavid?
Bedard.
Well, that's how good he is, though. That's how good he is.
He's being, in the Connor McDavid conversation.
He's being compared to the greats.
Uh-huh. Him and Macklin just lighting it up. Celebrini.
I don't know who Macklin is.
Number one pick last year.
Yeah, no big deal.
They had the number one pick 2 years in a row?
It's not. He's not on the Blackhawks.
Oh.
He's on the Sharks.
San Jose.
Yeah, correct.
Thank you.
Geography guy.
Yeah, you know me. San Jose, I think, like, the 11th biggest city in the U.S.?
Fact check that, Josh. I bet they're not inside the top 20.
No, they are.
We've done this before.
Never with San Jose.
No.
Oh, I didn't know you were such a savant on San Jose.
He claims to be a savant on city sizes.
I am. San Jose is a very large city. Sneaky large city. Anyway, so I guess I'm just...
Oh, would you look at that?
Uh-oh.
Not in the top 10.
Well, I didn't say they were. I said they were number 11.
Number 11?
That's what I said, yeah.
That's Fort Worth. San Jose's 12.
Oh, he was close.
Come on, baby!
To be fair, you couldn't even get the Wisconsin states figured out, so taking cities. It to a nationwide cities. Cities, sorry.
Well, we famously did this, and he got, despite there being like the most obvious answers ever, he got like 4 wrong. We did the whole United States. This is well-trodden territory.
Yeah, but I nailed the San Jose.
Well, thing. Will, well-trodden.
I was just running over to my computer right then.
Okay. A couple of things on the Packers front before we... I've got a list today, Josh. I came locked and loaded today.
Great.
I've got a top 5 list that we're going to hit. But a couple of injury fronts. So I saw our buddy Bill chimed in.
Billy.
He said, Emmanuel Wilson, RB1 trophy. Going to have 150 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Vikings. Yeah, you might be right.
That's Chris Brooks erasure, and I won't stand for it.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, hold on. We'll get to the RBs because I actually do want to talk about the RBs. But in the injuries, Josh Jacobs, knee contusion, has not been ruled out for Sunday against the Vikings. I would not anticipate we see him, though.
He's not going to practice. They're going to keep him day-to-day. Is there a chance he plays? Yes. He's that veteran of a player to this point. But I would guess the Packers' plans are still to win a Super Bowl. A game against the Vikings is important, certainly.
Yep.
But you look at J.J. McCarthy and you look at how the Vikings have prepared, and you think, with Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks, we can probably still get this done. And it's just a contusion, so it's not really, like, it's not like it's a PCL sprain or anything that could be perhaps made worse. It's like pain tolerance. But is it going to be worth him to sit out or not? We don't know.
Joseph chimes in. Lumberjack nerd Professor Joshy.
Whoa.
Self-proclaimed cool hand Will and Chief Optimist Strophy.
I'm a nerd?
Well.
Just because I'm brilliant.
Basically, he just called me cool.
Just because I'm brilliant. And Will, he said self-proclaimed cool hand.
You called yourself cool. All I saw was cool in my name in the same sentence, brother.
That's all the same.
It's all the same to me.
Yep, that'll do it.
I love you guys. Joshy, will you admit that you love doing the show?
I'm not forced to be here, nor am I paid to be here. So what would that leave you?
Just answer the damn question.
Yeah. It felt like that was a pretty simple question.
You also have, he's asked you this before and you've answered it multiple times.
Yes.
With the same answer, the one you just gave.
Yep. Uh-huh. I figured he'd catch on, but he's apparently a words of affirmation guy.
I am. That's 100% my love language.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you in the slightest?
Let me tell you, you've been barking up the wrong tree for some time now.
With you or my girlfriend?
For me. I don't know what you're... But if the reactions I've heard and I've talked to her about or anything, she's an affirmation gal.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
She'll blow smoke up your hiney like none other.
Nobody else, man. That's why I love her dearly.
It's too bad.
She'll blow smoke up your hiney. Yeah, she will.
The football team you root for has not given you a lot of affirmation. Going back to the puzzle.
That felt forced.
What? Okay. I thought it was good.
I thought it was clever.
You're still feeling yourself a little too much.
Yeah. I could have phrased it a little better. Yeah.
Hey, pick workshop it.
Yeah, I will.
How about go back into the lab? Yeah, go back in the lab. See if you
I have a lab.
I have a lab.
I visit it quite frequently, as you could tell.
You pass me my water bottle. Got a little frog in my throat. Forgot it over there. Ow.
I've realized this show has no order.
Thank you. Today.
This show has no order. Now, we do have an order, and I do have things I want to get to. But I've lost contain already.
Yep.
You feeling yourself today, Josh? You having a good day?
Not particularly.
Oh, no, why not? What's going on?
It's just a normal day. I did get reprimanded for complaining about Friendsgiving. Because I got
on the air?
Yeah, I got spies out there that report information back.
So you said on Irrelevant on Monday.
Yeah.
You weren't looking forward to it.
No.
And it got back to her?
No, I discussed it on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy because when I came home yesterday, there was 8 bottles. They are, you know the bottles that have the glass bottles that have the top that are latch closed?
Yeah, it's like a good water.
Yeah. We have 8 of those. They're on the counter. And then there was all these different glasses, vintage glassware that we bought a couple weeks ago. Oh, and I was told, these all need to be hand washed. And I said, oh.
Did me and Will's invite get lost in the mail?
I haven't invited a singular person.
I'm also going to preemptively decline.
I can't tell you the guests. I have a good idea.
When is it? Saturday?
Yeah.
Fun. I have a wedding. I can't make it.
Yeah. You could take that up with Mussolini.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
How many beers are you having on Saturday?
A lot. I'll probably eat less of the Friendsgiving meal just to have more beers.
Are you making a turkey?
No, making a family recipe ham.
Oh, and you're in charge of that?
Yeah. I mean, it's a slow cook. I rotate. I do most of the work. But it's not a big, like, you're paying a whole bunch of attention. You do the things to it to start. You give it the seasonings and all that.
So, I'm sorry to the MIA, but it seems actually they're enjoying this. From some of the comments, right? Matthew chimes in. There is an order, but the chaos makes this the best show on the network. Thank you very much, Matthew. Appreciate that compliment. I'm so fascinated by the guys I work with. Like, I love you guys. I will give you the affirmation that I love you guys. You're both fascinating in your own ways. And Hunter too, right? Hunter's a fascinating dude. And despite the fact, and this show is 3 times a week, but the fact I work with Will, I work with you 6 times a week during the football season. Josh, I work with you 5 days a week outside of the show. I still don't have either of you figured out at all. And Hunter as well. I don't have you guys figured out at all.
I feel like I'm probably one of the more straightforward people you deal
with. I agree, but there's levels and layers to you, right? Because you called yourself this, and I'm not going to affirm that, but I will call you it. Is you are an incredibly intelligent human being, but sometimes I feel like you have blind spots, and oftentimes it tends to be like simple things in your relationship, which always fascinate me. Like your girlfriend, for example, is excited to host a bunch of people you love on Saturday, and you go out of your way to be like, yeah, this is going to suck.
Wait, does Josh love them too?
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Some, give or take. I find gatherings like this to be mostly performative.
Why?
I don't like having people in my house that much.
that makes sense.
I don't like doing things that are out of the norm just to do them. I mean, I see these people almost weekly. So a Friendsgiving to me, if you're going to celebrate, it'd be like people coming from out of town. Hey, you're back in town. We don't see you often. That to me would make sense. But if I'm going to see them next week, Saturday or Friday, what am I thankful for?
It seems like Friendsgiving is just a thing to post on like social media. Like,
Let me tell you, that has been explicitly stated. I talked about the dehydrator we had to purchase and dehydrate oranges and lemons. You know why those are there? I was told. So they can look cute when you post them on Instagram.
For cocktails, I assume?
Yes. Yeah. And so when I say performative, that's what it is. It's a thing for everyone to look at and be like, look at how much fun and how cool this was. And yes, there is an aspect of, should I just smile and go along with it? Sure. Am I ever just a smile and go along with it guy?
Dude, never. You were the epitome of a toddler that's being dragged out of the Walmart.
Do you think anybody who's known me at all has ever thought, well, he'll just smile and go along with this? No. This is not how I operate.
He's not going down without a fight.
I provide a lot of other things, and I grin and bear it, and I help, and I provide, and I do the things necessary, but you're going to hear about it a little bit.
Nobody loves the bitch and moan more than Josh DiMaggio.
The fact that I had to hand wash with a special implement in these damn bottles.
I don't know if I'd make that motion on
camera.
That's
true. It took me a long time.
God forbid somebody in the chat clips that.
It's just, it was like, is this not, and aren't these brand new? What am I washing?
Oh, they were brand new. I figured they were repurchased from like a St. Vinny's.
They could be. But
you didn't go along on the shopping trip?
These, I believe, came via the internet.
Oh, so these are brand new.
These could have been brand new, I did go and get the vintage glasses, and I was helpful, and I played along. I didn't agree to now hand wash them all. That wasn't part of the deal.
So here's the thing that I think you're still learning. Now, we've talked about this before, my background. I've been a habitual relationship guy my whole life. Right, so I've barely been single, and when I have been, I've had my fun, I've been through this a few times, despite being younger than you. Sometimes you just gotta take it, man.
The taking it is allowing it to be at my house.
But the
taking it is the cleaning,
and
the taking it is the cooking.
But Josh, you gotta understand the very simple part. Without you bitching and moaning and complaining about it. That's only going to add to the disdain. You've heard the phrase. I shouldn't say have you ever heard the phrase. Of course you've heard the phrase. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
You just gotta take it sometimes, man.
I am taking it.
Yeah, but you're complaining about it. Yeah. Stop.
Yeah.
So she's not gonna be happy.
Hey, we're on the same level. I'm not happy either.
Why did I think I could get through to you? When I knew that's the most impossible.
I mean, we have people who own, like, big houses. They have no kids. Why is it at my house? It's probably at my house because, I would not want to go if it wasn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't go.
Yeah.
This is forcing you to go.
Yes.
Because you're there.
Yes.
It's a heady play by her, actually.
Yes.
Is this an annual tradition for you guys, or is this the first one?
It's the second year we've done it.
And you hosted last year as well?
Yes.
How was last year?
And here's the thing. I'm not going to complain about having our families over for Thanksgiving.
Are you hosting Thanksgiving as well?
Yes, we are essential. We are essential sort of location between all the people coming.
Okay.
And we have probably the most space.
Okay.
Of the more central locations, and I'll happily do it all. I'll be cleaning. I'll help out everywhere I can.
Mm.
But that's sort of it's different to me. Mm. We just had people over for Halloween. Now I'm having people over for Friendsgiving. Then I'm having them over for Thanksgiving. You know who's having people over for Christmas?
You.
Yeah.
You're just the host. You're the hostess with the mostest.
I'm not. Don't want to be.
Christmas tree, I bet.
No, surprisingly not. I think that's probably going to go up the week between Friendsgiving and Thanksgiving, if I were to guess.
So next week.
Yeah. Yeah, if I were to start piecing things together.
I would guess ours will go up Monday as well.
I think we're taking it one piece at a time. Got to get through Friendsgiving to then have it up in, yeah.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed that a lot. I hope everybody else did as well. That was informative.
There's also a level of happy wife, happy life, and like just take it. Brother, I take the most. All I do is take it.
You're like the giving tree.
It's not like these things happen once in a while and I'm always fighting against it. No, it's all the time. How did you think we do things I want to do? Oh, almost never.
Rarely.
So the taking it, I'm taking it in bunches, brother. I got bushelfuls of taking it.
All right, you feel better?
Yeah, I do.
Oh. Wow. Okay, so let's talk about the running back, shall we? Bushelful. Oh, that was good. So I am intrigued by the idea of a Josh Jacobs-less offense. And you said Monday, which I caught a lot of people's attention, Josh, because I think it was the correct analysis, but it shouldn't take what it took, right? Josh Jacobs leaving the game Sunday in New York, and that ultimately leading to what Jordan Love was able to accomplish, an awesome second half from him, and ultimately a Packers fourth quarter comeback and a win in the Meadowlands. But it took Josh Jacobs getting injured, and it took Matt LaFleur not having that as an option to really put the ball in Jordan Love's hands and say, hey, go win this thing. And in a game Sunday where your main backs will likely be Emmanuel Wilson, who's been pretty solid for them this year, all things considered, wasn't terrific Sunday in relief of Josh Jacobs, but overall I thought he's been really good for them this season. And then a guy who you and I are both giant on is Chris Brooks. And against a team that loves to rush the passer in Minnesota and Brian Flores' defense, I imagine we could see a lot of Chris Brooks on Sunday against Minnesota. Could be the Chris Brooks game. I'm actually like more excited than I should be. It almost feels as incorrect to feel this way as you felt about Josh Jacobs leaving. Now, I say it's incorrect to feel that way because Josh Jacobs not being on the field versus Josh Jacobs on the field should not benefit you, right? Like,
agreed.
Yeah, right? Like, at the core level of things, a good player should help you.
I said on Monday, the team is more talented with Josh Jacobs on the field.
Yes.
And I stand by that, and I'm not going to give any ground there.
But to see what Jordan Love and the offense was able to do against New York without Josh Jacobs on the field, it pretty much forced Matt LaFleur to get clever.
Yes.
And say, hey, use your $55 million.
Hey, you're going to see two high safeties. You're going to have to throw it still.
Yeah. And they did it well.
Very well. It would have been, the numbers would have been great. I think for all of us who watched, we saw a quarterback playing an incredible football game. Probably had one of the best games for a quarterback for the entire week of the NFL. It's just the numbers didn't match because, well, he had about 47 million drops. And then procedural stuff and the whole, you know, all of that factored in. But the guy was playing like an MVP on Sunday.
Totally. Totally. Now, that said, though, Josh, coming up Sunday against Minnesota at Lambeau Field, you know, to what I said before, is you're going to have a lot of Emmanuel Wilson. You're going to have a lot of Chris Brooks. It feels wrong to be like, I'm really excited to see what that looks like. It feels wrong to say that. But I am excited to see what that looks like. Because those are two backs who bring different things to the table than Josh Jacobs, and B, it forces Matt LaFleur to get creative in different ways where he doesn't have a workhorse back on the field. And I think we could see some good things from Emmanuel Wilson. I think we could see some really good things from Chris Brooks like we did a bit in that Washington game in week two. Could this be what leads Matt LaFleur to getting his swagger back a little bit in terms of play calling and the scheme offensively? I think the answer could be yes to that. Against a pretty good Minnesota defense.
I think it could be end up being a blessing in disguise, both the injury and the potential of him sitting out, because I think it would make him realize, wow, my quarterback looks really good this way, and wow, the offense is really able to move the ball. What's frustrated me the most about the Packers' approach this season is everyone can see it. The run blocking is not that good. The run blocking got an even further downgrade when Tucker Kraft was lost for the season. So I understand why Matt LaFleur believes in the system he's run. It's worked for a long time. The problem is if you don't have the offensive line and you aren't able to create positive plays with the run game and the numbers, then you have to pivot. Bashing your head against the wall and saying, no, we're going to still do this because this is how we want to do it, is not winning football. That's just being stubborn. You have to be able to evolve and change. And when teams are playing too high safety to bait you into running the ball, that should tell you everything you need to know. That defensive coordinator would prefer if you gave the ball to Josh Jacobs than if you let Jordan Love throw it.
Yeah.
And that's where the Packers are, and that's what Matt LaFleur is being obtuse about. It's visible to everybody who's watching. The Packers are a better pass-blocking team than a run-blocking team. I'm not saying throw the ball 100% of the time. That's
of course not.
It's not what I'm suggesting. And I am, I am suggesting, I still want the run game to be a significant portion of the offense.
Yeah, when you have a guy like Josh Jacobs, of course.
But the amount, the fact that the Packers are bottom 10 in pass rate over expectation, so in neutral situations when you could do either or, and the Packers are running it like more. The teams that they're with are like bad teams. It's like the Browns and the Jets. And then it's the teams who are winning by a boatload because they're playing from ahead for most of the games they're playing. That's who it's with. The Packers aren't that team. Had the Packers been in neutral other than like the first two games of the season at any point? No. So you're running the ball too much because the defense is trying to get you to run the ball. And instead of saying, we need to get them out of this too high safety and we need to get them doing other things, he's just been running it. So what's going to happen is they're going to continue to get even more too high looks. And you're going to have to figure out how to run an offense through that.
And if you get the addition of Jaden Reed.
Because if they weren't respecting Josh Jacobs in the run game, they ain't respecting Emmanuel Wilson in the run game.
They should, though. I say that a little tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, and I don't think Emmanuel... I don't think the struggling of the run game has a whole lot to do with Josh Jacobs or Emmanuel Wilson.
I don't either. I think it's the offensive line.
Nor do I think it has anything to do with Matt LaFleur.
It's the offensive line.
Right. They're just not good enough. Yeah. And that's the reality. But
you can adjust to that.
Right.
And you can plug your offense to fix those holes a little bit.
Yes.
And again, I think that's why I view Sunday as a good opportunity for LaFleur and company to really utilize it that way. So we will see. All right. I've got a top five list for you. My top five biggest worries for the Packers the rest of the year. The top five things that I think could be their biggest bugaboos the rest of the year. Okay, so I'm gonna hit you with all five, or I'm gonna hit you one at a time. I want you to quick hit respond to me on if I should be or should not be worried about these things. All right, number five on my list of things for the Packers I'm the most worried about the rest of the year is somebody except Micah Parsons stepping up in pass rush. Micah's been brilliant. He is an awesome football player. Unbelievable football player. Why did Kingsley Enagbare outsnap Rashawn Gary on Sunday against the Giants? Lucas Van Ness has been injured. Can he come back and make some noise on the outside? The interior has been a little bit rough. We'll get back to some of the interior and the defensive line in a bit. But I am worried about the pass rush specifically. Somebody except Micah Parsons creating pressures and getting after the opposing quarterback. That is number five on my list.
You want me to know if you should be or shouldn't be concerned? You should absolutely be concerned. Rashawn Gary's been no good. He
was early.
Yes. He has one of... I think it was Justice Mosqueda from Acme Packing Company that put it out. Nobody has played more snaps and gotten less quick pressures than Rashawn Gary. Because we've learned now as we've gotten better at sort of quantifying and putting numbers behind it, that pressures generally are good, but pressure numbers can be fudged by a good defense and by good cornerbacks and teams just holding on to the ball. So his pressure numbers are not what they seem. He's not winning quickly. It's oftentimes if he wins, it's based on effort.
Sure.
And the fact that he's one of the, I mean, he's barely had any pressure since he had his last sack.
Ain't good.
And I think the reason we saw Kingsley and Igbari more is because, well, you just haven't been creating enough. You haven't been producing enough. So we got to try something else.
And Bill kind of seconding what you're saying, Josh. Gary has just looked awful most of the year. It does not make sense with Parsons on the other end. No, it doesn't. Especially for the dollar amount he's being paid. He's being paid like an elite pass rusher.
Yes.
And he has not played like an elite pass rusher. And I feel like, you know, you can plug and play and say that each of the last few years for Rashawn Gary, but it extra doesn't make sense this year with the addition of Micah Parsons. Let's go to number four on the things I'm the most worried about for the rest of the way for the Green Bay Packers. That is consistent pass catchers. With no Tucker Kraft the rest of the way, who steps up and can be consistent? They're consistently feeding Romeo Doubs, but he is not consistent. A couple of drops on Sunday against the Giants. Can Christian Watson be the true number one? Can Jaden Reed come back and look like himself off the collarbone and the foot injury? Where's Matthew Golden? I trust Jordan Love to make things happen. But I still feel like this is a bugaboo. Similarly to Rashawn Gary for the third straight year. Where is the consistency in terms of your pass catchers? That concern number four for me.
this is probably one of my lower end concerns. What makes it a concern is Romeo Doubs gets the ball way too much.
I think he was targeted 8 times.
He's not good enough to be targeted the amount he is.
Yeah, he
functioning as a third option, I think he'd be probably pretty good at that spot.
Yeah.
But they are using him as the primary target. He's not explosive enough. His hands aren't good enough. He just doesn't create separation the way you would for, like, and they want him to be this team's Davante Adams, but he's more like this team's Alan Lazard. And that's how he's been playing. I think reinforcements are coming. Jayden Reed's 21-day window didn't get open today, but he's coming.
Yeah.
Christian Watson, I think, has elevated his play. We saw it at the end of last season, and we've seen it in his return to the team. So between him, between Jayden Reed's return, and between Matthew Golden, hopefully at some point here, being given serious routes and serious consideration, I think we can see a change.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you have to self-scout. Yes, we trust Romeo, but does Romeo do enough with the level we trust him? He's not productive. The amount of trust and the productivity do not match up with him.
I agree.
Especially since a lot of his receptions are just easy catches, like over the middle, underneath routes. Why not give those to Matthew Golden, who, A, can get you more yak, and two, kind of get him going and get his confidence up, because it seems whether on or off the field, he's struggled with his involvement in the offense and his role and where he fits into the scheme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. So we'll see on that. But it's something I'm concerned about, but could be fixed. The Matthew Golden thing, to both of your points and some of the points being made on YouTube right now, it's like, if you're going to manufacture looks for guys, that seems to be a pretty easy
one. Let's try the 4.29 speed.
Correct.
I think if they just simply swapped out Romeo and Matthew Golden, the offense would take a next step.
Will we find out is the question.
We will in 2026.
That's true. There will be no Romeo.
And we'll be doing the, wow, this guy looks so much better than last year. He probably could have done this last year. They just didn't give him the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Number three, and this might be a little bit of recency bias. Run defense, the interior defensive line, stuffing the run. Rico Dowdle a couple weeks ago, Devin Singletary and Tyrone Tracy Jr. last week. I'm not super worried about Jeff Hafley and this defense overall, because they contained Saquon really well on Monday night last week. But overall, the last couple of weeks have not been super pretty, especially for the interior defensive line, Colby Wood and Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, etc. Can you slow down good running backs? You're going to play several of them the remainder of the season. Derrick Henry's coming at the end of the year. If you get into the playoffs, which it's looking like the Packers certainly will, can you slow down a Jahmyr Gibbs? Can you slow down a Bucky Irving, etc.? Can you slow down opposing running backs? I'm a little bit worried about where the run defense stands after the last few weeks with what Rico Dowdle, Tyrone Tracy Jr., and Devin Singletary were able to do.
I think you should amend this concern and say, can Devontae Wyatt stay healthy and get healthy? Because that's the biggest difference for this defense.
Yeah, that's probably right.
It revolves around him. Once Kenny Clark was traded, which we would never trade back, you became thin at that position. The guys you had there haven't stepped up the way you anticipated. Carl Brooks is not going to be a run stuffer. Not his body type, not how he plays his best. Can you get more from Brinson? I think Nazir Stackhouse is just sort of what he is, an end-of-the-roster type guy, a body to have there. I think you can also see improvement for Edgerrin Cooper, who has had some missed tackles issues. But I think when this team sets out to really try and stop a running team, they can do it. It's just, are they going to have the pieces to do it? To me, last week it seemed pretty clear. We think we can take advantage of Jameis throwing the ball. So we're going to let them run and get theirs running the ball in hopes that we turn.
He gives us a few.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, we saw how many they dropped 4 interceptions.
That is correct.
You turn 2 of those early ones into interceptions. The whole game's different.
Yeah, that looks like a very different game, which is why I'm not too concerned about what the final score ended up being at 27-20.
No.
Now, would you like to alleviate those drops both offensively and defensively? Right. Of course.
Do you think they use the jugs machine? I know they have it.
I saw you tweeted this.
Do they turn it on?
I saw the video of the old Packers teams with Davante Adams doing the drill where you just put your hands right in front of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what happened
to
that?
That's because Aaron Rodgers threw the football really hard.
Yeah. Jordan does too.
Yes, he does. Well, at moments, yeah. Certainly does.
Sometimes he'll rear back and be like, I don't know if we needed that much zip.
All right, Mr. Relevant, Alex Strofe, Joshy DiMaggio, Will Summers with you, going through my top five list of my biggest concerns for the Packers the remainder of the way. Number five, somebody except Micah Parsons stepping up at the pass rush. Number four, consistency of pass catchers. Number three, the run defense. Number two, it's the cornerbacks. It's been a concern. It remains a concern. They are one injury away from catastrophe at that position. You're one injury at cornerback away from Bo Melton legitimately playing both sides of the ball. Like, legitimately playing both sides of the ball. I know he technically does, but I don't think still he's had a defensive snap. He's had special team snaps and offensive snaps. You're legitimately an injury away from Bo Melton playing corner. Carrington Valentine's been really, really good. Keyshawn Nixon's been kind of up and down. And that's the end of the list. Javon Bullard, obviously, in the slot's been solid. But an injury really hurts you at that position.
Yeah, I also think that applies to most of the positions on the team. I would say this one is the lowest concern for me.
Of the ones I've had?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, you get really thin with an injury, and then things get really scary. But I think all three of those guys have probably been better than people recognize. Keyshawn Nixon had the penalties issues, which certainly made it more glaring.
Yep.
But it is the NFL. And a lot of those number one wide receivers who he ends up facing, they're going to get there sometimes. That's the nature. I think that team, the Green Bay Packers, give up the least amount of 10-yard pass plays and 20-yard pass plays.
Oh, wow.
So,
it helps when you have a guy like Micah Parsons in that category.
Yes, they'll get beat. Everyone does.
Yep.
It's just sort of the nature of the game. Unless you have a Jair who's playing like an all-pro, a Sertan, a Christian Gonzalez. Like, that stuff just is going to happen. I think they're plenty good enough. I just think if you get a bad game from them, things can really go off the rails.
Mm. Well, that's what makes Sunday intriguing to me. J.J. McCarthy's, I just don't think he's very good. Receivers are.
To this point, if you look at some of his accuracy numbers and like the advanced stats on him, he's like way worse than Cam Ward, who's been horrific. He's Zach Wilson had a better start to his career than J.J. McCarthy has.
Woof.
Yeah, bad.
Woof. J.J. McCarthy. Woof. Okay, that's number two.
That's nine to you.
Yeah,
do you think maybe there was some signs when he threw less than 10 passes in the national championship game that might not be the guy?
Well, first round pick. Number one is I have a couple of things listed that all lead to one thing. Establishing the run game, an effective offensive line, and trusting your quarterback. It all leads to Matt LaFleur and a creative offensive scheme. Can Matt LaFleur consistently call a good game offensively? Is effectively my number one concern the rest of the way. Because if he can, I think we're looking at this team a lot differently than we are after 10 games.
I just got to say welcome to the club. This has been my biggest concern. I agree wholeheartedly. This would be my 1, 2, and 3 concerns listed. I do think... Here's what's a way to say it. I do think Matt LaFleur is a good schemer. And I do think he's an overall good coach. I do think he has a tendency to lose control of himself, especially in the game. And I do think he also has a tendency to get a little stubborn and frustrated.
Yeah.
And when the run game isn't working, he just says, screw it. We're going to keep running it until it works. The problem is it hasn't worked.
It has not.
But I do think if there's another, like a loss to the Vikings, that is, I would almost have like the utmost confidence in him after that. Cause that is, oh my God, this is getting really real. We're in a tough situation here and we got to get out of this. Otherwise my job's on the line.
Yeah.
So I do think there is a certain extent of where I think the good coach is in there. It's just we need to see him. You're grinning oddly.
No, I totally agree. I was just kind of waiting for Will, and I couldn't tell if he had this telepathy with me. I was just kind of waiting for Adam Schefter to jump in with "Keep up the good work, Josh."
I didn't have that.
No telepathy.
You could have said a million different things before that.
That's why I was grinning, because Josh started all of that with "Welcome to the club."
It's a club. I've been saying it since the Cleveland game.
Amazing. All right, those are my top five concerns moving forward for the Green Bay Packers. I wrote wide receivers as the next note. Here's all I'm going to say. Until further notice, once Jaden Reed returns, I want snaps, targets, and opportunity to look like this in this order the remainder of the season. Number one, Christian Watson. Number two, Jaden Reed. Number three, Matthew Golden. That's it. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. I think Jaden Reed's going to be a big impact player once
yes.
he comes back.
I hope
like,
so, too.
I think this stretch of offense has shown his impact on this team and what he... Because yeah. first, people forget, he got hurt in the second game of the year on that broken collarbone that
right.
should have been a touchdown, too, right?
Like, yes, correct.
Jaden Reed was...
If he was inbounds, but it was a great catch.
But it was, but it was a great catch. But he was their top pass catcher through the first two games.
Yeah.
And then they lost Tucker Kraft, who eventually became... the number one guy in the offense. So I think getting Jaden Reed back is going to be really good for them going forward.
I do too. I totally agree. I think he's, I mean, to your point, Will, I think some of the shortcomings of this offense have shown the importance that he has on this team. So we will see when that happens. But a cryptic tweet from him last night, does that mean this week is the week? Looks like all signs pointing to no as of now, as his 21-day window was not officially opened. All right, let's get to this. The moment you've all been waiting for. We do this once a month. There's six categories. There's 18 teams that we consider at this point in the NFL season ass. Well, what'd you say to me before the show?
Can't wait to look at some ass.
Hell yeah, brother.
Let's look at some ass. Here are your updated Week 12 ass rankings. We start with the top category, frisky ass. In no particular order, I have the Los Angeles Chargers after a gross loss to Jacksonville, the Baltimore Ravens, who seem to be turning things around, and welcome, for the first time in the history of the ass rankings, to the frisky ass category, the 5-win, 5-loss Kansas City Chiefs. Frisky ass for the 5-5 Chiefs. I imagine they will not remain there long.
No, I think the Chargers might stick around.
I do too.
And I think some of that is out of the control of the team. It's just they're devastated by injury.
Justin Herbert's inconsistent.
Yeah, I also think the guy is basically running for his life.
Yes.
They have two first.
That offensive line is
so
shattered.
The two guys they have are really freaking good, and then the guys they have everywhere else aren't that good.
Yeah.
Besides last week, what Justin Herbert was able to do with how horrible his offensive line was impressive. It was so impressive. He's, like Josh said, running for his life every single play.
Boys, I got to tell you, the other ass categories were difficult for me because the bottom 15 teams in the league are not very good.
No.
Suck ass. Jacksonville, Atlanta, Houston. Jags, Falcons, Texans, and suck ass.
I would argue the Texans could be frisky. The defense is so good. And once you get CJ Stroud back...
I think CJ Stroud's a downgrade.
I tend to agree. Well, from Davis Mills, maybe not, but I don't know that he's very good.
I think the offense and the talent they have functions better with Davis Mills. I think CJ Stroud, like, if you are to just evaluate quarterbacks solely, he's probably more talented. But, I mean, they were having a hard time getting Nico Collins involved. Like,
shouldn't be hard to
hey, that guy's a freak. Like, I don't know. Find ways to get him the ball, dude.
Let's get to swamp ass. Some interesting teams in this category. The Carolina Panthers. The Minnesota Vikings. And a team who made the biggest jump in this week's ass rankings. From all the way at the bottom to the third highest category. Welcome to the swamp ass category, to the Miami Dolphins.
I think, and this is an overall statement, I think you were too focused on balancing this. I think the Dolphins deserve to be way lower.
Yes, and I think the Panthers could potentially move up a spot.
Rico Dowdle in the way, like, they suck, the Panthers.
Yep.
But the way they play football and the way they're coached helps them win games.
Yeah, they're winning games.
They're very good at bringing teams down to their level.
Yes.
Like they did to the Packers.
So that, but that's why it's hard to put them any lower. They're winning too many games.
Well, right. I think they should probably, like, they're no different than the Jags, the Falcons, and the Texans to me.
That's probably fair.
Agree. Yeah. Also, they started off the season horribly, and since then they've gone on a pretty nice run. I can't quite tell you how many games they've won in their last 10, but
the other two, I'm just pretty much ready to say I don't think Minnesota's very good. Of course, those are going to be famous last words now, right? But hey, they already lost to one team in this category. The Packers did. Miami, I really struggled with.
Yeah, I think we're going to see them dip down,
fall back down.
I think you're giving them a little too much credit.
A win over Buffalo is no joke, though.
But the Falcons also beat Buffalo.
Yeah,
it's fair. Ultra ass. I don't know if there's going to be any debate here. These teams all reek. Ultra ass. Arizona Cardinals, Cincinnati Bengals, Washington Commanders. They all suck.
Yeah, I think the Bengals could fit into the mega ass, but Joe Flacco doing Joe Flacco things has at least made them entertaining.
Yep.
The Cardinals with Kyler Murray were unwatchable. They're at least interesting with Jacoby Brissett.
Kyler Murray benched and most likely will not be back in Arizona next year, by the way.
What was it? Most completions in an NFL game?
Jaden Daniels can't stay on the field for Washington.
Yeah. Who could have seen that coming?
Was it the most completions ever for Jacoby Brissett?
Yes.
That's going to be like a trivia stat that goes on for however long the record
lasts. I figured that was just this season. I didn't realize it was the all-time record. Ever.
And they lost, but they got killed.
Yeah, they got killed.
They weren't in the game at any point.
Yeah, they're not good.
The kickoff happened, and they were losing.
Now, here's where the real debate comes in, and it's the bottom six teams in the final two categories. It's mega-ass and turbo-ass. We start with mega-ass. It's the New York Giants, the New Orleans Saints, and the Las Vegas Raiders, who I have in that category. And I'm just going to throw a turbo-ass right away. The bottom three teams I have are Browns, Jets, Titans.
The bottom three, I'm certain, deserve to all be there.
Yeah, it's pretty airtight.
When we're talking about butts, airtight is a little interesting use of vocabulary.
It's sealed.
We're not talking about butts. We're talking about ass.
Is a frog's butt watertight?
Okay, that's enough out of that.
I do think if we wanted to parse it, I think, to me, there's really no difference between those bottom three teams and the Raiders and Saints.
Yeah.
At least the Giants play teams close.
With Shadur, we might have to find a level below Turbo S for the Browns.
He was bad in relief.
So bad.
He'll make his first NFL start this weekend.
I go back and read the Jacina Anderson tweets about against all odds completions like every day.
Clean pocket.
It's so funny. I mean,
yeah.
Tell me more. You're on the payroll.
There are really people that just stick their neck out for him.
People forget too. Like he was technically like the fifth string quarterback coming in.
Yes, he was.
Like the Joe Flacco, you had Jameis, Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel were all ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about Jameis.
Somebody had a report, I forget who it was, they strongly indicated that neither the coach nor the GM really wanted to see Shadur. And that they had planned for it to be a redshirt season.
That's always good.
Yep.
That's good. Here we are. All right. There's your ass rankings.
I mean, the Jets are. Whew. Oh, Aaron Glenn, one and done for sure.
You think?
Jeez.
His thing was defense, and they can't play defense.
Their answer is Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, but they traded everybody at the deadline. So I would imagine that's gaining assets, move on from Justin Fields, and give him another year. That's the way I read it.
I tell you, watching Justin Fields is an experience. I can't believe I used to root for that guy.
He was really bad in New York. But I mean, also, is that part of just being a Jets quarterback? Because he's ridiculously athletic.
He's gotten broken. The Arthur Smith and the Steelers and Aaron Glenn.
He's gotten broken.
They ruined him.
And Matt Eberflus.
In terms of physical gifts and lack of production, I don't know if there's a better case to be made than Justin Fields, like ever.
Yeah.
In terms of like raw ability.
And just can't do anything.
Guys at least figure it out to some extent.
Yeah.
I mean, He had a game where he had 11 passing yards if it wasn't for a screen pass.
People forget, too, he was not a rushing quarterback whatsoever when he was drafted.
He didn't run enough when he was in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strictly a deep ball passer.
Well, another one bites the dust for the Bears' former quarterback.
Him and Marcus Mariota, just wrong systems.
Marcus has looked, how has he looked in Washington? I admittedly have not watched a Commanders game when he's been
starting.
Fine,
he's old now.
The one game against the Chiefs, though, I was like, wow, I was starting to go down the loophole. Maybe he could have been something.
Mariota, number 2 overall pick?
I think he was number 1 and Jameis was 2.
No, Jameis
Or it might have been the other, all right, yeah, then it was the other way around. Flopped. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in the same draft class.
Yeah, so. I mean, Mariota never had a chance.
Nope.
And then he sustained many injuries.
Yeah, but like, he was in Tennessee, and then Ryan Tannehill plugged in, and he was good.
Remember when people believed Ryan Tannehill was like an answer? That was a wild time.
It's like when Matt Ryan was the Colts quarterback.
Remember when somebody on this panel, and by somebody, I mean definitely not me, wanted the Packers to sign Ryan Tannehill as Jordan Lowe's backup?
I do remember you floating that.
Yeah, that was his first season. Yeah. I felt like they needed a veteran. Thought that was a good take.
Yeah, there's the guy. There's the guy we needed.
And by the way, he has not been signed since. He's not played in the NFL since.
Remember when there was a debate between who's better, Tua or Jordan Love?
I mean, there was a lot of those from that draft class.
Yeah.
Herbert, same thing. I don't think it's close anymore.
I think him and Jordan are...
Well, closer than Tua, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Tua is... I mean, I wish him the best in whatever he does.
He'll get signed somewhere.
Yeah, but he's not going to be the starting quarterback anywhere.
Jets?
Dude, I don't
know. He seems like the perfect Jets guy.
See, this is where I'm with Will on this. Like, I think Jets, I think the Cardinals could be desperate enough.
I never said he's going to be good, but it makes so much sense. The Jets to sign a lefty quarterback.
Could the Steelers be desperate enough if Rodgers retires? Like, that's the thing about this quarterback carousel, and I do look forward to the offseason to discuss this, because there is going to be a lot of retread quarterbacks available, Fields included, Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa available, and there's going to be a lot of teams looking.
Yes, teams are going to sign those guys.
Thank God we don't have that problem.
It's going to be the wrong decision, because they're going to stay in that murky, they're decent, doesn't really matter, their draft pick isn't high enough to get them a quarterback. It's the Steelers cycle.
Yeah.
The Steelers have needed to just break it down and just punt and figure it out and get a young guy quarterback, and they just refuse to.
What about Kenny Pickett? They had him.
Yeah.
Kenny Two Gloves.
I mean, he was
the only quarterback selected in that first round of that draft.
Everyone knew that was not the right answer.
All right. Rapid fire one word Wednesday. We've actually got to use one word because we're running out of time very quickly. Packed show today. One word. Will's got topics. Joshy and I have a vocabulary book, otherwise known as a thesaurus. And we will respond to every one of his topics with one word, except there's going to be one I'm going to need to say more than one word about. All right, here we go.
Jalen Ramsey appealed his suspension for spitting on Jalen Ramsey. It was later denied.
Jamar Chase,
sorry.
All good.
But he said, I would have spit in his jersey. I miswrote this.
Holy
I would,
cow.
Let's start over.
Do you want me to just deliver
Jamar
it? Because
Chase,
I know it from memory.
Jamar Chase appealed his suspension for spitting on Jalen Ramsey, saying, I would have spit on his face, not his jersey. The appeal was later denied. Or upheld.
Bratty, probably my word.
He delivered nothing from that correct.
Yeah. I'm not good with the word upheld.
Upheld by our guy Jordy Nelson, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson was the
word.
Bratty, my word.
Moron.
Yeah.
We saw you spit on him.
But I think he was arguing that if he would have spit on his face.
Yeah. I mean, we know what he was arguing.
Okay.
Nobody believed him.
Yeah.
Connor Bedard had a hat trick last night and his fourth in the NHL in points. The Blackhawks sit near the top of the Western Conference standings.
Joshy is my word.
Puck.
Badger.
MVP?
MVP?
I'll give you the acronym. Yeah. That counts.
Wisconsin Badgers football senior day is this weekend, and they posted a graphic of all the players that they're honoring for senior day, and a lot of their majors in sports leadership was the most common major among the players.
Fickle.
I was just going to say phony. We all know none of those kids. The fact that people tried to lie to us for so long that school was the most important part of college athletics. I mean,
student before athlete.
They kept that charade up, and like everyone knew it was They knew it was BS. We knew it was BS, but they just kept saying it.
Yep.
All right, last one and the most interesting one. Bill Belichick was at a cheerleading competition in Raleigh, North Carolina, supporting his girlfriend, Jordan, who is a member of a co-ed adult cheerleading team.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the simplest word possible here. How? Why?
Freaks. I don't like whatever they got going on. Bill deserves to be fired. That dope, that absolute jerk, who's their GM? What's his name? It's escaping.
Michael Lombardi.
Oh. Has anybody ever coasted off of doing less than that guy? He's supposed to be a respected football voice. He's a bonehead. Absolute moron. UNC, yeah. the state of... They should have internal hearings about the fraud that took place at that university for all those guys collecting checks that they didn't deserve.
But I'm actually more fascinated about the Jordan Hudson adult cheer league thing. I didn't know that existed.
Can we just cut to the chase here? It's a young woman taking advantage of a wealthy man. It's clear as day. We've seen this happen.
Is this breaking news?
We've seen this happen throughout history. This is a common thing that happens. And people feel uncomfortable talking about it. But that's the truth. They don't love each other.
Wow. Joshy. Joshy.
Come on.
Joshy.
I don't. No one's making me pretend.
I didn't know you were capable of going that low.
That was crazy.
I mean,
they don't love each
they
other.
They don't.
They just put up with each other?
No. They have an agreement.
What's the agreement?
You know what the agreement is. It involves an allowance.
We're going to get sued.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Oh, incredible. All right. Nobody's going to make me pretend.
I'm sick of it.
Can we just call it what it is?
It's Friendsgiving thing has him acting some kind of way.
I know.
He started just issuing trademarks on everything.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just kind of a power move. I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Because
if I could, I would trademark a lot of
things. That's because we're realizing the end of his career is near and we have to monetize everything we possibly can.
Chapel Bill.
Baller move.
The money train can't stop.
Can we just call it what it is?
I think I said it the nicest way possible.
They don't love each other.
Yes.
The nicest way possible.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That was awesome. All right. Time now for What We Missed and What We Learned. It's presented by Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits. Made locally in beautiful Door County. Joshy's Friendsgiving is going to be powered by Door County Distillery. And I don't mean his entire party. I mean literally just his existence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bourbons, all sorts of whiskeys, but bourbon my favorite. They've got brandies, they've got vodkas, they've got gins, they've got rums, and all the in-betweens. Elevate your cocktail game, elevate your Friendsgiving, elevate your Thanksgiving. With Door County Distillery, visit their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com. This is the most red I've ever seen Strofe on a show since I started watching, says Matthew.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was the hardest I've laughed in a minute.
You got to go tune into the one where we played the audio of the guy that was interrogated by the cops.
Oh,
you were
yeah.
pretty red that day.
Yeah. What was his name again?
Josh would know.
It was the dude that sold cocaine and was investigated by the FBI, but not
I actually have...
An update?
The audio still on my...
Oh, we don't need to play it. We don't need to play it. We're almost out of time. I want to get Will's word. I want to get out of here. They don't love each other was such a good line.
I don't know if this is a word. It's hyphenated. Well-trodden. It's much frequented by travelers is the definition. I will be going to Oklahoma this weekend, which is not considered a well-trodden vacation destination.
That works.
I'm kind of on a heater. When's the last time you guys laughed at me hard for missing a word?
Well, it helps.
This is getting too easy.
But, okay, so then here's what we got to do.
No.
You're no longer allowed to Google it.
Yeah.
You've got to write down the word and use it without Googling it.
And guess based on the context.
If it's becoming too easy, that's the change we have to make.
Okay. I'll do that.
So just write it down. You're going to have to spell it for us, however you spell it.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah. That's kind of the point, Will.
Because sometimes it's hard to remember the usage that Josh uses the word, or how he uses the word.
The context in which I use the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't.
Well-trodden is a pretty frequently said thing.
I got to be honest. I didn't know it either.
Ah, jeez.
But now I do.
Yeah, when are you going to do it with me? Why don't we both do it and see who's closer?
See, I'm okay with that.
And you gave me funny looks when I said I'm the smartest person in the room. And I'm okay. We just did it on Monday.
No, that's not why I gave you the funny look.
It is.
Josh, I gave you the funny look because you said most people that are the smartest in the room shouldn't be the smartest person in the room. They should go into different rooms.
Well, I said that was bogus.
Yeah, you said you love being in this room.
Yeah.
That's why I gave you a funny look.
Yeah. Duh.
Okay, we're done here. All right, we're back with you Friday at 12:30.
I call this my midday pickup.
All right, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. I got a programming note for you on Friday.
Uh-oh.
Hunter at Camp Randall Stadium for WIA State Championships. Will in Oklahoma. It's just me and you on Friday.
It's Colin Woolley.
Oh.
Mm.
I like to bully that little pipsqueak.
I'm going to send this clip to him and ask. Otherwise, it'll just be me and you. We'll see what happens. We're back with you Friday, 12:30 Central, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. Of course, the ESPN Wisconsin app where you can get our show, as always, commercial free. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the in-betweens. If you haven't already, and even if you're rocking with us on YouTube, please go subscribe to us on any of those platforms. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, rate us 5 stars. Helps the show, helps us continue to grow if you're not already. So would really appreciate if you do that over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you do listen to your podcast. Thanks to Will for running the show today. Thanks to Joshy for saying they don't love each other. What are you doing?
Good day for me.
You're just playing with a cord over there?
Yep.
All right, fine. We're back with you Friday. We'll talk to you then. Peace.